Some of these takes are going to age like fine wine, and some of them might blow up in our faces. Today, we're making our hottest Wisconsin football predictions for 2026, including why Luke Fickell could be the Big Ten Coach of the Year. It's time to put our takes on the record. I'm Rajiv. He's Justin. Here we go.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, your destination for all things Wisconsin Badgers. Authentic takes.
Oh my God.
Game analysis.
Touchdown Badgers! Ring one up!
And discussion from the fan perspective.
Woohoo!
Thanks for joining us and on Wisconsin.
Welcome to the Bucky Report. We are your hosts, Rajiv and Justin, back together on a Sunday evening to talk about all things Wisconsin Badgers on today's show. We're going to start with the big news on the hardwood as Babacar Ann has officially committed to Badger basketball. Another huge recruiting win for Greg Gard and a program that's really starting to build momentum for the future. Then we'll spend the bulk of the show with our annual Hot Takes episode. We're putting our biggest predictions and opinions on the record, from Luke Fickell potentially winning Big Ten Coach of the Year to breakout players, recruiting, and the storylines we think everyone will be talking about when this season is over. Grab your own hot takes and drop them in the comments because this one should spark plenty of debate. You can find our show on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. If you like what we're doing, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. Thank you so much. If you are a podcast listener, by the way, thank you so much for that. Hit that follow button, leave a review on Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen to us. Thank you so much. However you consume us. I'm also going to try to add video onto the Spotify and Apple podcast platforms as well. So we'll try to see how that's going. Justin, happy Sunday. How's it going, my friend?
Not too bad. Had a good little start to the morning. We did breakfast on the farm up here, which is basically like a thing where they give you like a tour of like one of the major farms in the area, and then they do like a breakfast. We took my brother's niece or my brother's daughter out there. Him and his girlfriend are gone, so my parents were watching her, so they wanted to take her out there to see all the farm animals and stuff like that. And was an interesting time. Very quickly got to the Justin is overstimulated and wants to get away from all this noise and chaos. Like my mom,
I know
like,
that
you should help out more with her. Like she's kind of running rampant. I'm like, I need to get out of here. I'm so overwhelmed right now.
If you're watching on YouTube, you will see that Justin is wearing a Milwaukee shirt, but the Cubs decided to beat the Milwaukee Brewers today. So that's nice.
Win the series. Milwaukee Brewers starting pitching showed every bit as dominant as what we were expecting them to be. And then the bullpen just decided, hey, you know what? We're going to just play like utter garbage for this entire series.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, we're not as good as the Brewers. I will admit that. It is what it is.
Hey, I love how Pete Crow Armstrong is like the 4A player who just crushes all the bad teams in the league and is horrific against anybody with a pulse.
All right, we're going to move on because I don't want to engage in this discussion with you because we're not going to agree, and that's fine. We are 70 days away from Badger football countdown to kickoff on the Bucky Report. Make sure if you are not subscribed, make sure you subscribe to the channel so you can see all this stuff coming up. We've already done our five reasons to believe. We're doing hot takes today. Not necessarily going to go in this order. Again, if you have any ideas for shows as we approach the season, send us a note on Twitter at Rajiv Badgers or at Bucky Report JJ. Our Know Your Foe series is going to begin with Notre Dame this week. And then, of course, I'll be going to Big Ten Media Days in Chicago, hopefully get some cool interviews and different things going on there. So definitely tune in to all of our countdown to kick off coverage. A lot of good stuff coming. But before we get to football, Justin, we've got to talk about Greg Gard and Babacar Ann, a 6'5", 180-pound, four-star wing out of Minnesota. The top player in the state of Minnesota has joined Wisconsin. We talked about Brown. Now we've got Ann. I mean, this is a hell of a good sign for Greg Gard, man. Whatever your opinions are, Greg Gard, you got to find this one good, Justin.
Oh, absolutely. We were talking about it in our chat, and I said, I thought he did an incredible job with this. My one pushback on it was like, this is where Wisconsin should be recruiting in general. Like, the level of program that we are, Wisconsin consistently grabbing low four stars should be a regular occurrence, because we've proven ourselves at this point. Like, you, if you come to the school, you will have, you will be successful. And I think that that's kind of where I sit on it, is where it's like, if he wanted to truly like blow me away, it would be like, if he pulled a Decker, like Bo did. And that's just like, it may be, that might be one time in his career. Like he may have that happen at some point, but that to me would be the type of thing that if Wisconsin pulls that type of player, it's like, wow, this sets you up for, it might only be 1 year depending on the type of guy, but it gives you an opportunity to escalate the ceiling, because you're not going to find a five-star that's a bad athlete. I think this kid is the best athlete we've gotten in his time recruiting here as a head coach. I think he's better than Johnny Davis as an athlete. I think Davis might be more of a killer as a scorer, but I do think that this kid has more like all around athleticism on the court, that he's, some of the things that Davis had that were weaknesses, this kid just is more physically capable of developing into. Like, I think he's going to be a little bit more explosive by the time he leaves here. I think he's going to be just more built from a body stature standpoint than what Johnny was capable of. And I think that's going to be a big deal. But I really like his game. I think he can be a great player here.
Yeah, look, this is a big win for Greg Gard. Babacar has a two-way wing. He absolutely can solve that. How many times, by the way, have we talked about athletic wings on this show? And yeah. I'm Locked On Badgers, Justin, athletic
for 5 years now we've been talking about it.
We've been screaming for an athletic wing, and boom, we actually got it. Not in the transfer portal, in high school recruiting. This guy, he's a slasher. He's a driver of the basketball. You can watch film. The film is up if you're watching on YouTube. Just fantastic, like, ability to move with the ball, move laterally, slash to the basket. He is athletic. I don't think he's as athletic as Johnny Davis. I disagree with you on that, but he is very athletic. He's a good passer. He's got a great frame, 6'5", definitely can fill out there, can use that better. And he's a pretty decent ball handler. The issue is his shooting. If you're watching, you can see he's got a bit of a low release point, a kind of a long release point. I don't know how coachable that kind of stuff is. I think that overall, we're not going to look at this guy and say, oh, he's a great spot-up three-point shooter. I think he's an average three-point shooter. I think he will make buckets. Yeah. But his superpower is really getting to the basket, slashing. He loves the Euro step. He's very athletic. He can hang in the air. He can make plays inside. He can play in the post. That's really where you're going to see Babacar, and in my opinion, do really well. Shooting is not really one of them, but that's okay. We generally have enough shooters. We need a guy that's an athlete and that can play defense. He's the kind of guy that can guard some of those better wings in the Big Ten that we're going to face up against. So a really, really good win for Greg Gard for sure. Anything else you like about his game that you want to mention?
Yeah, I think the way I look at it with shooting is, even Davis, when we got him, wasn't a great shooter. Like, he was streaky and very inconsistent from three. I think that's kind of what you're getting here. Like, he's not going to be a guy that you can expect to go out there and shoot at 40%. I think you're probably looking at a guy that's going to be in the low 30s. And that's fine, because the other things that he brings to the court for you are all positive. It will be really interesting to see how he grows as a player. I think his best days are ahead of him, because I think there's a lot of skill development that you can do with him. I do think they will tinker with his shot a little bit. We'll see how much they change that with. Like, if he's a really good shooter now from a percentage standpoint, I don't think you want to get too carried away with changing things. But if he's a kid that struggles, or, you know, he's in like right around 30%, I say break it down. Like, try to fix it. Try to clean up some of the things that you can do to get his form better. Because what are you really losing at that point? That begs the question of, like, what happened with power forward that we had on the national champion, Nigel Hayes. When they changed his shot. And I'm like, it's not a problem. He's shooting 40% from three, and he's never going to be a guy who's a primary option as a shooter in the NBA if he makes it. Like, he can have that slower release in the NBA because he's going to be spotting up in the corner and just putting up shots. I never understood why they messed with it. Somebody probably buzzed in his ear and be like, man, you're a jump shot away from being a great NBA player.
Mr. October says, need that defense. Preventing two counts as much as scoring two. Absolutely. This has been an issue for this team, and we've been calling for athletic wings. We got an athletic wing. I will say, Justin, we kind of had this discussion a little bit in text, but 2-3 years ago, you were one of those people that was screaming from the rooftops, guard can't recruit, guard can't recruit. He's got the number two recruiting class in the country right now. It's not going to stay that way, but this is by far setting up to be his best class. And all he's ever done, Justin, is evolve. He keeps evolving. I've always been impressed with Greggard. I'm a Greggard apologist. I absolutely think he should be the coach. I know there are issues, but we needed a more upbeat offense who could appeal to the talent that's out there right now. He's done it. He evolved the offense. He's looking better at recruiting. Like, he keeps making strides in the right direction. I don't know where the haters are and what they have against him right now.
So what I've said on this is simply that he needs to repeat this. Like, we need to consistently be doing this. There's too much talent in Wisconsin. Yeah. There's too much talent in Wisconsin, in my opinion, to be missing out. And we should literally never be losing out to Iowa State. Like, we are more accomplished as a program than what Iowa State is. And they seem to eat our lunch with Wisconsin kids. And that, to me, pisses me off, because I don't see any reason whatsoever why they should be a better option for high-level recruits from in-state than we are. I think we have a better offense for them to play in right now. And right now it's Olzelberger. Like, that's the difference between the two of them, is that he's probably more well-regarded, and probably he's a little bit more the shiny, you know, sports car versus guard, who's a very dependable kind of, you know, he's the SUV. That is what it is. Like, this is where we've got to, where guard's going to have a couple of flashy seasons where he can be like, all right, we made a Sweet 16 or whatever. And now you have something to sell, where you now have something to say, hey, we're capable of doing this. We need you to take it a step further, because you could legitimately build a roster that's capable of making a Final Four just out of grabbing top level talent out of Wisconsin.
I mean, look, let me be clear. I think that he does need to win more in the tournament. This is a problem, and that's not going away. I understand that. I think the likelihood of that goes up when you have recruiting classes like this. And
absolutely,
I think you can say he needs to stack them, and you're right, but he deserves credit for this. Like, he deserves lot of credit for this.
I said this is an exceptional class, and I'm very happy with, like, this is what I wanted to see. And now it's a matter of, all right, we've done it. Now that we've proven we can do it, we need to consistently do it, because this is what's going to separate us. This is what's going to carry you to getting in that top three or four in the Big Ten, and giving you opportunities to make runs, because these are the type of athletes, and I brought it up in our chat, and is the type of player that we're not going to be able to grab in the transfer portal when he's 3 years in and he's developed.
Yeah.
Because this is a kid that's not coming to Wisconsin. He's going to be getting $1.5, $2 million on the open market from somebody, and Wisconsin's not going to be able to pull it. Now, we can hold on to a kid like this when you've had him in-house and you're the one that's developed him, and you'd be like, hey, we can give you a fairly competitive amount, and you get to stay with your teammates and the guys who you've grown with.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that's why it's such a big win. I think this is probably the best class we're going to see at a Greggard. Would you agree? I mean, definitely the best class he's had so far.
Yeah, so far for sure. I think that when I look at these two guys, they're capable of being the two primary players on a really good team. And I think that's not to slight the 2017 class, but I just think that athletically, these two guys give you more upside.
And I mean, what's your take on the profile of player that he's getting now? Like, I mean, there's more athleticism. He's adapting, man. Like, I think he's really getting the players. Like, not that fans have any, you know, thing to do with the program, but I feel like all fans have been calling for this kind of stuff. And I feel like he's not listening to fans, but he's definitely realizing what the holes are in the program, and he's getting those filled. Like, the athleticism clearly has taken a big leap up, mm-hmm. and now you're getting that defensive profile back. But yeah, you're also bringing guys like Brown and like Ann, who can score the basketball and who can be elite actually at scoring the basketball.
Yeah, I think it's good to see. I think for a while he was, I don't know guard, and I want to be clear, I've never spoken to him, but he feels like a guy to me that leans on skill versus athleticism to a degree. He wants the guy that understands the game and is going to make the smart decision, even if he's not necessarily the most high-end athletic kid. The one pushback I'll have on that is, if you look at some of the teams, and this is what frustrates me so much, is seeing teams like Houston, where it's like, why the hell is Houston suddenly stacking all these great athletes? It's like, there's not, like, the resources are through the roof there. You have a pretty good coach who understands the type of guys that he's trying to bring in. I don't understand. Like, I feel like that's something that Wisconsin to a degree can do themselves. We're not going to play with Duke. We're not going to be able to be North Carolina and them and recruit like that. But there are plenty of teams where you can see the kind of outline of like, this is the type of roster you want because they give you opportunity against those teams, because you're not going to outskill a team like Duke or North Carolina in the tournament. You have to have enough athleticism to stay with them. In fact, I think you could make the argument you have a better chance at out-athleting them, where if you get a couple of guys who just get hot and are athletic and make some plays in a given game, then having everything go right with your guys who are just really skilled but maybe, you know, a step or two slow when it comes to what you're looking for from an athlete.
Yeah, you know, by the way, so Ann did have an Iowa State offer. Why are we like competing with the Iowa State thing? Really annoys me, by the way. We've lost many people to Iowa State, obviously, many big names, clearly.
We could have had a what's his name was the biggest player in the portal this cycle. Who's the kid from, was it Pewaukee? The big man. God,
I forgot his name, but you're right. But like,
yeah, I know you know what I'm talking about. He ended up going to, I think he went to, was it Kentucky?
I don't know.
Something like that.
There's too many players for me to remember. But it's not, first of all, I'm glad that we beat Iowa State with this guy. He's a Minnesota guy. He's not a Wisconsin guy. There are players in Wisconsin who are going to Iowa State, as Matt Van Grinsen brings up. We had six top 100 or 120 guys in Wisconsin this year. We're likely only getting one. I understand we got another guy as highly recruited as them from Minnesota, but their Iowa State is getting these guys. That is a thing. Iowa State is clearly prioritizing the state of Wisconsin.
This is
the guy that you're talking about. Yep. But yeah, I mean, listen, you said this before too. It's about who we want and who fits the program. That obviously goes for football as well, but we do need to keep the better guys in the state. And obviously, you know, getting a guy like Jaylen Brown from Wauwatosa, and then of course getting Ann, although from Minnesota, it's just showing that there's evolution happening in this basketball program. I do feel like we're on the up, but again, we're going to talk about this every year in March. He needs to bring it in March. And that's what we're going to talk. We're going to bring it up again when we get to March, but hopefully, you know, as good as things can go right now for Greg Gard, this is a step in that right direction. And it's a really important thing. And I'm glad we're doing it. Okay. Let's move on to the big sport, of course, football. If you're just joining us again, countdown to kickoff. We've got a lot of good coverage coming up. We've got defensive and offensive previews coming up. I'm going to be at Media Days. We're going to talk about that. We're certainly going to have Nick Osen on to talk about fall camp, camp stock up, stock down. We're going to do preseason superlatives. We've got a whole litany of content coming up in the next few weeks, as we are 10 weeks out officially from today, 10 weeks from pretty much almost right now. This game will be kicking off in Lambeau Field, which again, Justin and I will be at. I think we've convinced Ryan. Thank you, Kevin Brown, for convincing Ryan to go. But I believe Ryan's going to be there as well. So I'm sure we're going to have some content being produced up there. Obviously, we're looking forward to anyone who's going to be up there. And hotel rates are crazy. If anyone has a condo or something they want to, you know, let Justin and I stay at, give us a call. It's absolutely nuts. But anyway, that's that. Okay, so hot takes. We've done this show last year. We're going to do it again this year. We've each got a list of random hot takes that are going to spark debate, explosive at times, maybe unrealistic, maybe realistic. I've got one that's kind of unrealistic, maybe. But then I've got all mine other are pretty spot on and things I think actually will happen. So first of all, put your comments in the comments. If you're listening to this later, I want to hear what you have to think about Babacar and whether you think this is going to be Greg Gard's top class. And then also any hot takes you have, whatever hot takes you have, put them in the comments. We are going to bring those up next week and just kind of just list them out from anyone who's put them in the comments. So we want to hear what other hot takes you have. So definitely put those in the comments. Justin, hit me with your first hot take 2026 football.
The Wisconsin Badgers will average over 28 points per game this
season. That's ludicrous. That's ludicrous. That's not going to happen.
Okay.
28?
Come on. The schedule is very forgiving. So I think that there is an opportunity for this to happen if they're dynamic enough offensively. I think you have the pieces. Like, nobody really truly knows what this could be. And I will say this. During the Crist era, we kind of hovered between 26 and 28. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's a very real chance. And I don't think anybody was looking at a lot of those offenses and going, we have an incredible offense. So that tells you don't need to be insanely, you know, dynamic. What you do need to be is efficient. Wisconsin needs to be able to be consistent with what they do on offense, and the running game is what will decide whether that happens this year or not. So I think that is a possibility. That's probably the ceiling, but I think that my number would be right around 28 and maybe slightly over.
Man, 28's a big number. Considering we were 12 this past season, which is, I mean, look, you're right. If you look back at the history, there's a lot of years where we were up there. Things have to be perfect for that to happen. Colton Joseph has to be an absolute stud. And we've got to load up points on the crappy teams. We're going to have to put points up on Notre Dame. We're going to have to put points up on Penn State. Listen, I think we're going to have a good year. I just think 28 is a lofty number, but I appreciate the take. I just think that might be a little bit too high, but we'll see. Because that's, God, that would be a hot take. It is a hot take. That's fair. It's a hot take. Okay. My hot take, I'm going to stick with that sort of realm that you're going with. I think our defense will allow less than 17 points a game, which has not happened in quite a while. And when we were at our best, right, we averaged, I think at one point it was 12 and a half or 20. I had a table up and I now don't know where it is that has like all of our years and what we scored for and against. But 17 points per game, I think we're going to stay under. Now that's last year we allowed like 23. So it's not, that's a big leap in the other direction. Obviously schedule has a lot to do with that, but I really do think our defense is going to be the star of the show. That's why I don't think your 28 points is going to really hit. I think it's more like 25, 26, but that doesn't matter if we're only allowing 17 points a game, Justin. I think this defense is going to be really good. And the closer I get to the season, the more I start to believe, which big shock, by the way, of course, I'm going to start to, the homerism is just elevated, but I really feel like this team is going to be legit defensively.
What I will say is that might be exactly the reason why the offense ends up having a better than average. Expected scoring. We both think the defense is going to be good, which I think is going to provide more opportunities. I don't think that there is a chance in hell that this team can have as few turnovers as they had last year if the defense is good. Like, I think it's borderline an impossibility. They had what, like 6 turnovers or something last year? It was something insane. For the number of shock plays we had in terms of sacks and whatnot, it's really ridiculous how few turnovers we actually generated. So I think that there's a much better chance that that's happening. But my next hot take is Wisconsin's going to have a top 15 defense this year. And I think that is going to be, to be clear on that, it's going to be driven by a fair amount by the schedule that they face. But I actually think they're going to be significantly better on the back end. I think corner is going to be a much better cornerback room than what we've had for the last several seasons. I also think that they're going to find a way in the aggregate to make up for the sacks that they lost with the guys that in Peterson and Reiger. I think Post is going to probably be a guy who pushes potentially to double digits this year if he gets to freelance the way they are. I know people have talked about other teams scheming for him. It's like, what do you do if that guy just lines up wherever the hell he wants? Like, if he can just roam back there, you're going to have a really hard time trying to set up because your offensive line is going to have to really communicate if he's going to be allowed to do what he wants to do.
So you're saying top 15 for you're talking about yards per game allowed, right? Like just total defense. Or are you just talking
total
about
total defense? Yeah.
Total defense. So yards basically.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I can hear that. I think the biggest question mark about that top 15 defense, and listen, I just said, I think we'll average under 17 defensively. It's going to be the secondary only because we just don't know. Like we have a lot of optimism around the guys like Javon Robinson and certainly Jameer Scott, Kai Bates. But we don't know what that's going to look. We don't know if Marvin Brooks is really going to bed into this team well. We don't know how, Van Dinter is going to work, how Matt Young, like that is still the question mark. I'm confident in it, yes. But I do think that if you look towards top 15, which that means that you're in the top 5 in the Big Ten, top 6, for sure. And that's not going to be easy. The schedule obviously has a lot to do with that. So I think you're right about that. But yeah, I mean, I think is the secondary, that's a question mark. Do you feel like that's the biggest question mark for you for this top 15? Or do you think it's more the defensive line? Like what's the biggest question for that?
I think the sack number is the number that I don't totally know where that's going to come from. I do feel like there are players that I feel really comfortable with saying it doesn't shock me if this guy has 6 or 7 sacks. Like Cheeks, I think, is a guy that I would be not shocked at all if he's a terror this year. I think we both feel Clayton's going to – I don't know if he's going to get as high as 6 or 7, but I wouldn't be shocked if he gets 5. I think there's multiple guys that we feel like are going to have production, and that's without getting to the middle linebackers where I think Post is going to be the driving force in the pass rush. Mm-hmm. So I think realistically it's like, how does that shake out and where does it come from is where I kind of sit there and I'm like, I feel like there's going to be numbers there. I just don't know. Like there's not guys that I look at and say, I can guarantee that this guy's going to have 6. And that's kind of where the issue lies for me in terms of that. But I actually don't have too many questions about the secondary guys. I think Javon Robinson is better than what we had on any of our corners that we had last year. I think that the other two guys are like Jameer Scott, I think has a chance to be a better athlete. I think he's got a bigger frame. And I think Bryce West was a guy who was ready to play at Ohio State and is going to play well here in the slot. He's the probably the best slot corner we've had since Fickell's been here. So, and I say that simply because I don't think there's anybody I look at that I was like overly impressed with what they brought to that. I mean, Latimer is probably the closest thing and he was solid. That's about it. I think Bryce West gives you a chance to be a lot more than solid.
Yeah. Let's get some community ones in here. There's two of them, but they basically say the same thing. Zach Bart says somewhat hot take. Based on recency and early season blunders, Wisconsin shocks Notre Dame and Lambeau. Notre Dame has laid early season eggs to teams like Marshall and Northern Illinois. UW joins that group. Will Hannah follows it up with Badgers 27, Irish 23. I mean, look, I didn't list this as a hot take of mine, but I do, Zach, I think you kind of got a point here. I think that I don't think it's going to be as early season blunder because Notre Dame going to Lambeau Field against a Big Ten team, I don't think elicits that early season blunder. Now, just because, you know, when they're playing a Marshall or playing something else, sure, they're Northern Illinois, they can screw it up. But I think they're going to be ready for that game. That being said, I don't think anyone is ready for Wisconsin's defense, ready in the sense of I don't think they're going to believe that Wisconsin's defense is as good as it is.
Yeah.
I think Posa and Catalano are total difference makers, as we've talked about many times. Then ultimately, the X factor to win that game is, can Colton Joseph really be that guy? Are we going to be able to get push on the offensive line? Like, can our offensive line actually run the ball on Notre Dame? That line of Wilkins and Haywood on the edges and Mandel. And I mean, is that line going to be good enough to run the ball against guys like Notre Dame has on their defensive line? That's really the question. I think it's a very fair hot take. And I'm frankly, I also agree in the sense that I do think we're going to beat Notre Dame, and I will predict that when we get closer. But I think that it's very reasonable to expect this, but it's also very reasonable, Justin, to think we could get blown out by Notre Dame.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that's what I was going to say is I'm probably not going to predict a win, but what I will say is if Wisconsin's going to win that game, I disagree. I don't think it's the offense. I think the defense has to come in hitting on all cylinders and being dominant. If the defense, because I think Carr is a really capable quarterback. If Wisconsin's going to get them, it's going to have to be because Mason Posa is just absolutely a wrecking ball in that game. And if he's got them moving off, like making them uncomfortable on offense, and he's in Carr's face every time he gets the ball and drops, like that is where you get a chance to kind of throw them off. And we kind of saw that the last time we played them where the defense came out and basically the offense just threw that game away. But the defense for the better part of that game was really making Notre Dame super uncomfortable. They had a couple of plays, big plays that they ended up breaking that game, but they had like 5 or 6 sacks in that game. And they were dominant for the first like 3 quarters of it and then just faded.
Yeah. Sid Irish, clearly an Irish fan here joining the show. Thank you for listening. It's not a hot take. Under Marcus Freeman, Notre Dame has struggled in September. Yes, I agree. I just think that a neutral field site like Lambeau, where, look, we're going to have home field advantage, but there's going to be a ton of Notre Dame fans at this game. I just don't see how Notre Dame looks past this game at all. It's a Big Ten team in a place like Lambeau. But, yeah, look, I think we can definitely beat them. There's no doubt about that. Another one here from Will Hanna. Edge rushers will have more sacks than last year's unit. Yeah, I mean, I think that's for sure. Hopefully that's not a hot take at all. Okay, my next one, Justin, is that, okay, so we have to think, kind of think through this, and I want your take on it. Wisconsin has six players on the Big Ten first team, second team honorable mention. So all the Big Ten teams, right? Six players on that, and Colton Joseph is not one of them. Okay, so hear me out now. So look, I think Colton Joseph is going to have a fine year. You've heard me say completion percentage is going to be maybe an issue. I think Colton Joseph is going to have a good year. He's not going to have a great year. He's going to adjust to the Big Ten. He will be far better than anything else we've had in a long time. That's for sure. Is he going to be like Superman? Don't think so. Maybe in his second year. So my six that I feel like legitimately can be all Big Ten, first, second, or honorable mention, Posa Catalano, that's a lock. Okay, they're first teamers. I put down a defensive back, which I think will be Javon Robinson, but I do think someone in our defensive backfield is going to get it. I think Haywood, Sama, and then Jalen Domingo, I think, is going to surprise a lot of people this year and potentially be a guy that makes honorable mention. I don't think he's going to be a first team or second big team, but I do think he's going to make some noise. And I also put wide receiver. It could be one. So I think Posa Catalano, Haywood, Sama, a defensive back, and a wide receiver. I don't think Joseph's in there, and I'm going to put six, Justin, on my Big Ten first, second, and honorable mention teams. What do you think about that?
I think that there is a possibility with this. I think there's actually a really good chance that you could have a good season out of the quarterback position and not get there, because I think the conference is stacked with quarterbacks. So unless Joseph goes out there and absolutely lights it up, he's not going to have the opportunity to be in one of those three spots. So that's not shocking. Like, he could end up being one of the ones that I brought up to you as a possibility, where I said, I think that my hot take is he'll have 22 touchdown passes. He could do that, and that could not be in the top three guys in the conference. Now, where it gets sketchy with him is, he's going to be, if he's as dynamic as he was at Old Dominion, the running is going to kind of put him in the argument, because I think we both agree he's going to get 400 or 500 yards rushing, probably with 5-6 touchdowns, probably somewhere in that range. Touchdowns are going to be, that's such a hard one from a rushing standpoint to evaluate, because if he's not breaking runs, he'll probably get a few that he's going to just grab near the goal line, where he runs around the edge or runs a naked bootleg or something like that. But it's going to be really hard to look at him and say, yeah, how about Sebastian Cheeks? There are a lot of guys that you can make the argument. There's not a lot of production that you can look at with some of these guys and say, this is an expectation. Posa and Kat and Cooper, I think both of them, I feel like there's a really good shot that they're going to get an opportunity at one of those three teams. I just think there's a chance Posa just puts up All-American numbers, which is another one of my hot takes, that Mason Posa is going to be an All-American this year. And I think that Cooper may end up leading the Big Ten in tackles. Like, it wouldn't shock me in the slightest if he has 140 tackles this year.
Yeah. So, yeah, we have put up the Sebastian Cheeks. I think definitely he has a shout. I also put up a comment here. Where did that one go? From MB Anderson, Posa, Catalano, Haywood, Sama, Harris, and Burks. I did put Burks down as a maybe. I just don't know what to expect from him, because he obviously, he's a transfer. We're not really sure. We don't know how a lot of people, but I think there, we could absolutely see an all Big Ten season from Burks, but we just don't know. I think that's going to be that. That's my,
a lot of really talented secondary in this league.
There definitely is. There's no doubt about that. I did want to put this comment up there and talk about this before we go into our next hot take. I think it's a good one here from Steve Davis. I really think people are taking for granted other teams on our schedule. We don't really know who and how many really good players these teams may have added, just like they're not sure about us. I think this is a fair point. We talked a lot about the schedule on this show. We've talked a lot about how the schedule's not nearly as difficult as it has been in the past, which obviously that's the case. But at the end of the day, and I think this is fair, that's why one of the reasons we're doing our Know Your Foe series, we are going to talk to a lot of these podcast hosts from a lot of these teams, because you're right. Like, they're definitely teams have strengthened. We're excited about our team. And it's very likely UCLA, by the way, they're excited about their team. Iowa's always excited about their team. Minnesota's seemingly for whatever reason, excited about their team. There are people on the schedule that are, and listen, Matt Campbell going to Penn State. You don't think people in Penn State are happy that James Franklin is gone? Maybe, maybe not. There are teams on this schedule that we may be taking for granted. I think it's a fair point. I think we have to bring it up and kind of qualify everything by saying, yeah, like it's easy for us to talk about how good our team's going to be, but there are, Justin, other teams that are doing exactly what we expect that we did ourselves.
So what I'll say about this is people want to say this, which one of these teams? So the only team out of this group that has really changed is Wisconsin. Wisconsin is the only team that's really shifted their spot in the Big Ten in terms of where they were 10 years ago versus now. None of these other teams have really moved. We've just regressed. And that's basically been the difference. So when I look at it, and I'm not taking them for granted, it's simply that this team still aren't good. Like Iowa's been where they've always been.
Michigan State has definitely regressed.
Yes, they have. They're the one team that has. But even they were starting to show the cracks at the end of the who was their coach? Like in 2018, 2019, after they made that Rose Bowl, they got the really big recruiting, and then everything just fell apart. D'Antonio. They really regressed after him. But they've been down for a little bit now. Like they had that one big season where they caught lightning in a bottle, where they had the running back. That was great. And then went 10-2 against a really weak schedule. But other than that, they kind of have been down the whole time. What I will say, though, is those other teams, like Minnesota's been Minnesota now for 10 years. Purdue's been Purdue for forever. Rutgers has been Rutgers. Maryland's been Maryland. Wisconsin's the one that came back. If Wisconsin gets better, we should expect to win those games. Iowa is one that I can't look at and say that we can expect to win that, especially playing in Kinnick. We're gonna have to play a clean game, and they're going to have to play well. Michigan State is a team that I believe in the hire that they made. I question how much talent they've been able to bring in, but that is a coach that is capable of winning a game with even inferior talent. Because he'll has his players well-drilled, and they will play and do what they're supposed to. But if Wisconsin is more talented than them, they should get that one done. And they don't have Hankowitz anymore, which is a big deal. Like he was the kryptonite to Wisconsin when we were getting our butts kicked by Northwestern. Like their defense is the problem that we had in those games. It had nothing to do with our defense not showing up. We just couldn't score on them for whatever reason.
Yeah. There's a comment I wanted to put up here. Oh, yeah. Sean, 1999. The ND line has moved from 19.5 to 20.5. By the way, this does kind of freak me out a little bit. I don't love that because it's baiting people to kind of bet. I mean, the money's obviously going to Notre Dame, which is a good thing, but I feel like this is almost baiting you to bet Wisconsin, which always worries me about, it's very possible we could have a blowout here, but don't think it's going to happen. Do not think it's going to happen. MB Anderson, if you watch Iowa podcasters, they're nervous for a change. Their roster is insanely inexperienced. They lost a couple of their studs to the portal. The thing about Iowa, the culture that's on that team, that's the culture that we had that frankly, like they're always going to be good. They're always going to be tough to beat at home. They're always going to be a good defensive team. They're always going to have good special teams, regardless of who you plug in and out. There's a culture and an undertone and a theme at Iowa that frankly we had for a long time. They have their identity and they do it well. And until we can find a way to beat them, I put my hands up and say Iowa's a better team than us because they have been doing it. We changed our identity. We changed everything we're doing. Hopefully we're back. Iowa hasn't done that. To be fair, Iowa does what Iowa does.
So what I will say is I'm very curious to see what the spread is for that game, because that might be one that I want to bet on simply because I could see them looking at last year's blowout and figuring that they're going to give us a bigger than expected point differential there. People need to remember how that game started and why it turned into a blowout. You had a fourth string quarterback who threw three turnovers and like three consecutive drives and gave them the ball on our side of the field. That game was done effectively at that point. And that's why we were sitting there watching it. It's like, if you have competent quarterback play in this game, it changes everything. Like the game, I'm not saying that we would have won that game. That's not remotely what I'm saying, but having somebody who doesn't turn the ball over and give the other team a short field makes a huge difference. If you are able to at least competently run the offense.
those turnovers were absolutely painful. It was absolutely a joke. Okay, what's your next hot take, Justin?
Yeah, let me take a look here.
I'll go, and I think because we have the same one, and I want to talk about this now. I also wrote down Mesa Posa finishes as an All-American. We've been a fan of his since he joined up, since he was on this show. He was a great recruit. Like, he's been absolutely amazing. I think the rest of the country is going to see what we have been seeing for a while and what Wisconsin fans know to be true. He's an absolute monster, game wrecker. Any positive attribute you want to apply to Mason Posa, he brings it. I absolutely think he's an All-American this year. And he, to me, like, this is almost a lock. I would put money on the fact that this guy's going to be there. He's an incredible player, Justin.
He's not on the preseason list for the Big Ten, is he? I don't think he is. He's not a preseason All-Conference guy, I don't think.
He probably isn't, but I think everyone's crazy. I think this guy is an absolute machine.
It's insane to me that he started four games and had four sacks and, like, seven tackles for loss or whatever it was. You don't think that's going to, like, he's going to end up with at least eight sacks? That's going to be an All-Conference player. Like, no matter what, it's, you have to be high to not expect that guy to be one of the best players in the conference. And now, a couple of things. Number one, he hadn't changed his body yet because he didn't come into the fall last year. So he didn't get an offseason to get ready. He didn't come in early. I also look at it and I say, this is the first season coming in where he truly understands what they're trying to do defensively. Like, he's had a year to really be in the system now, and they're going to turn him loose and let him just freelance a little bit more. I think that the chances of him being just an absolute problem this year are really high.
Yeah.
No, he's going to lead this defense. There's going to be people that, he's going to be the guy that comes up on the placard when they're showing Wisconsin playing. Like, I think he's going to be that good this year where they're like, yeah, that defense led by Mason Posa is a problem.
We totally are in agreement there. If you are watching us on Twitter and you want to put your hot takes in, come over to YouTube and put your hot takes in so we can pop them on the screen. You can put them on Twitter as well. We'll talk about them next week. Anyone who's listening to this later on Spotify, Apple, whatever, put your hot takes in the comments. I definitely want to know what everyone's hot takes are for this season. We're going to bring them all back next week and kind of talk through anyone that we get to. MB Anderson, Post as good as it gets, and he's added weight. Absolutely. I mean, he's the best. He really, truly is the best player on our defense. And I honestly just can't wait for the season to start because I can't wait to watch him play. He's absolutely super special. Okay, Justin, your next hot take.
Yeah, my next hot take is that Emmett Bourque will be the leader in receiving at tight end.
Okay, so you're saying Emmett Bourque is going to, like, lead the tight end group in receiving?
Yes.
Wow, that is a hot take. Okay.
So I feel good about him. For whatever reason, I just think he's going to be a guy that gets on the field and makes some plays.
Okay, so the room's got Harris, got Schwendeman, got Steck, and you feel like Bourque is going to lead that. Okay. I mean, so yeah, give me more. I need to understand why. Like, listen, and Shaden says the same thing, love the tight end. I'm with you. Like, I love him too, but
I think that he's going to be a guy who sneaky gets out on the field more than is expected because they really like him as an athlete and what he provides. And I just think that he has a chance. From an athletic standpoint, I think he is the guy that has the most upside out of the guys that compared to Schwindeman and Harris. Now, Harris is a really big body and he's athletic, but he's not a burner. I think that Bourque gives you more up the seam. And I think there's going to be situations where they look at him as a guy who potentially gives you a little bit more in terms of what he's capable of out on the field. Now, he's going to have to do that probably as the second tight end out there. But I think he's going to get on the field and earn it.
I mean, I like this. This was nowhere on my radar. I would have never guessed this to be one of your hot takes. So, which means I like it a lot, actually. Hey, listen, I like Emmett Bourque. I think he's a great athlete. And you've said he's a burner. He can obviously do things on the field that others can't. I just don't know that he's going to get the snaps early to be able to generate the offense that he would need to be able to be our leading receiver for the tight ends. But listen, fair. I still think that's probably Harris, probably. But I like it. I like the take. I think that's fair. And we got a lot of people in the comments that agree with you.
Yeah. And then that's the disclaimer that I'm putting out there too, is these are not meant to be like, this is a high likelihood of happening. These are situations where we kind of look at it and be like, you know what? I think there's a possibility that this could be an outcome.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. My next one, I'm curious to hear what you think about this. despite recent issues and all the discussions that we've had about Luke Fickell, my hot take is that Fickell actually gets an extension this year to his contract, and we and the athletic department locks him down for even longer term, which yes, theoretically would increase his buyout. But I think he gets an extension. I think that all of the fire Fickell talk is gone. I don't think it's coming back. I think he's going to get extended. Your thoughts?
Yeah, this will be really interesting because I think that he's a coach that more so than a lot of others requires a staff that is very competent around him. So I think it's a risk, but I also think I will push back on this a little bit for a couple of simple things that have nothing to do with potentially what he does.
Okay.
One, number one, we do not have an AD right now. And number two, we do not have someone above the AD. So a chance of signing a massive extension with him when you don't necessarily have the people in the house who are probably going to be the one that gets saddled with that seems unlikely. It could happen. Now, if he goes 10-2 this year, like if he finds a way to win some games where they shouldn't or aren't expected to, then absolutely there's a chance that they look at it and be like, all right, we think we've weathered the storm and this is who we're going to be going forward.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, they have narrowed down, the reports are that they've narrowed down the AD candidate to five different candidates for the athletic director job that will be filled in the next month or two, I think. So I think there will be, before the season kicks off, the athletic director is going to be there. Shot in 9-3 gets in the playoffs. And I think people are saying 9-3, like he needs to go 9-3 to get that. I agree. He would need to go at least 9-3 to get the contract extension. And I'm not saying we're going to go 9-3. I just think you can see a pathway to 9-3, especially if what we think is going to happen happens, which is the first game of the season, we shock the world and we beat Notre Dame. Then the path to 9-3 looks a hell of a lot easier if you get Notre Dame out of the way and you get that win.
So yeah, you have to have it. That's the only way 9-3 gets you in the playoff. But then right, you're going to have a loss that you're kind of looking at that's puzzling, and you're like, what the heck happened here? Because I don't know. Like, we look at some of the other teams that we expect to have trouble with. Who do you see on this schedule that you think is going to be a 10-win team? Maybe USC?
I think Penn State has a chance just because I think Matt Campbell is going to bring a new culture. Certainly Notre Dame, SC, yeah. But that's probably about it.
It's going to have to be after that is what I mean. Because if you're going to have three losses, there's going to have to be teams. Like, there's going to have to be a loss in there that's not to like a 7-5 team where you're like, what the hell happened here? Because if you have a bad loss on that, Wisconsin's schedule is not strong enough this season for them to get away with having a bad loss with three losses. You'd have to have two really good wins somewhere. And I just don't know if the schedule is strong enough for that.
I mean, look, in general, I think 9-3 will get you into the playoffs. It's just a function of what those losses are. If we lose to Purdue, Maryland, Rutgers, we're not getting into anything. Yeah. But, you know, obviously, if you like, we've got tough road games at Penn State, UCLA, they're going to be much improved this year at Iowa. Like those three games, if we can win two of those, beat Notre Dame, and maybe you do lose a game you shouldn't along the way, that's going to happen. I think 9 wins probably gets you damn close, if not in the playoffs. And I think that's what I mean. Like, if we get that to happen, which I think really is a possibility, that's when you can see a contract extension, not because, you know, like he's been great ever since he got here, but I think that like you're going to want to lock him down potentially if you can really see that the turnaround has really happened.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And I think for me, it's mostly administrative was my pushback on it. Like, I could see them potentially doing it. It has more to do with, do we have the people in place that are going to want to be able to weigh in on something like this? Because it's a big decision. It's especially with what you've just gone through with this coach. I think I would almost be like, well, we want to wait a year and make sure that this isn't just a one-off. Because it's scary if we go into a big, you know, extension with a bigger buyout and have to worry about that going forward. And if things fall off a cliff again.
All right. What's your next? I think you probably have one more.
I have a couple more.
Okay. Fire away.
Abu Samah will rush for 1,300 yards this year.
Oh boy. That's a big number, Justin. I mean, if you said 1,000, I'd be like, okay, cool with that. 1,300 yards. But let me ask you this. Where does Dupree fit in this, in your
– I think he's a second back. I think he's going to probably have like 600 yards.
So you're saying
the running game's going to be better this year. I think they're going to be a lot.
2,000 yards rushing we're going to have.
I think we're going to be closer to 25. There's going to be some like in there with Joseph and whatnot. But I do think the running game is going to be substantially better. And the schedule is going to be a lot easier too,
The running backs you're saying are basically going to have 2,000 yards, the running backs.
Yes.
Ooh. Listen, that'd be great. My only pushback to you, honestly, is I've said many times, this is not a surprise. I think the offensive line is going to be improved. Definitely. The depth scares me still. And if any of those guys go down, like, listen, Mandel's a guy we haven't talked about much tonight. Mandel is going to be really good as a back at guard. What if he has to kick it back out to tackle again? Then are we confident in our guard depth? Are we confident that we can actually get something going? What if Kuecke gets hurt? Like, I'm still not sold that our offensive line is going to be like gung-ho amazing. And to have 2,000 rushing yards from our running backs, our offensive line's got to be cooking. And we'll see. But I love it. I love the take. And that's fair. Okay, my next one is my biggest one, which if you looked at the thumbnail of the show on YouTube, you saw a picture that AI did a nice generation for me of Luke Fickell holding a Big Ten Coach of the Year award. Now, bear with me. This is one of those. All the other ones I've said, by the way, I think are legitimately going to happen. This is kind of like the one of, okay, it's going to take the 9-3, the 10-2 that we talked about. It's going to take beating Notre Dame. It's going to take beating Penn State or whatever and not slipping up too much. I do think there's a possibility. And the reason is not because we're going to be the number one team in the conference, not because we're going to win the Big Ten championship. I don't think that's going to happen. But I do think that given that we were 4-8 last year, given that we were in the basement, given that everyone out there knows that people were yelling fire Fickell and that we were truly in a bottom, rock bottom situation as a football program. If he comes out and wins 10 games this year, and even 9-3, flirts with the playoffs at 9-3, definitely gets in if he's 10-2. I think it's going to be hard not to give him Big Ten Coach of the Year. So yeah, that's my hot take. I think Luke Fickell is definitely on the table to win this award because of how bad we were, because of how good we could theoretically be this year. It's going to take a lot. It's going to take Colton Joseph having a great year. I understand that, but I think that's fair. Bill Walsh says clickbait title, Reggie. Fine. I'll take that criticism, Bill.
So what I'll say about this is that the only problem I would say is if you look at it from this perspective, if somebody wins the Big Ten title this year that is not expected or like hasn't, like if Lanning does it with Oregon, he's probably winning the Coach of the Year. I think if we go 9-3 or whatever and Wisconsin is like kind of the darling of the Big Ten, I don't think Cignetti will get it over him because he's won it the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a chance that it's kind of a similar thing with Ryan Day, who's won it multiple times in the past. If those teams have losses, I think that helps him substantially. So if nobody goes undefeated and we go 9-3, I think, yeah, there's a pretty good chance. If there's an undefeated team, whoever goes undefeated is going to end up getting that.
I think that's my point, though. You're right. Like, if Cignetti wins the Big Ten, he's not winning Coach of the Year. If someone had a bigger story, if someone like Luke Fickell and Wisconsin wins 10 games, that's a big story. And I think that's where that comes from. Not saying it's definitely going to happen, but it definitely is something that I just want to put out there and hopefully will to happen. Okay, Justin, what's your last one?
All right. I have two.
Okay.
And I'll just throw them both out there because they're pretty easy ones to discuss. Jalen Williams will have 3 sacks this year. And my second one is Carson Van Dinter will start a game.
Carson Van Dinter will start a game. Let's start there. I agree with that. I feel like that, well, just nature of rotations and injuries. Yeah, I think Carson Van Dinter is a high motor type of a guy who's going to surprise a lot of people. I think you probably still have Young and Burke starting at safety, but I think Van Dinter could start a game. I think that's a reasonable take and not that unheard of.
And the Williams one, I just think that he's going to get enough playing time. He's going to be part of the rotation. I think that he'll get opportunities, and I think that on that edge is your kind of elephant edge.
I just think that he's a better athlete than the guys that we normally have at that spot, who's capable of kind of just blowing by somebody and making a play.
If you had said he was going to have three TFLs, I would say, okay, three sacks. I'm going to probably push back and say, that's a stretch, just because I don't
some guys that had a couple last year that you didn't expect to have. And that's, I think, fair. He's a better athlete than the guys that we're
fair.
Getting.
Him. He is. And we'll see how he's developed. I think that's fair. Look, we are going to be doing an over-under show, which I think is on our list. That's going to be happening, which that's when we're really going to get into, like, you know, how many sacks, how many different, who's going to lead the team in sacks, receptions. We're going to go through all that stuff. That's going to be coming sometime in early August. So stay tuned for that show. I think you're right. Like, he is an athlete. He is going to be good. I think there's a fair amount of depth at that position that I don't know. Is he really going to be getting the number of snaps that it would require him to get three sacks?
Keep in mind, weeks two and three, he may be basically playing the entire second half of those two games.
Well, that's what we thought in past years, and we were struggling in both of those cupcake games.
There's a difference in quarterback that we have this time around that's going to make things different. Like Joseph, I know we had quarterbacks that were somewhat mobile. Joseph is legitimately capable of he's going to make plays with his legs, especially against overmatched teams. Like those two teams, he's probably going to have, if we had games where you'd expect him to have 70 plus yards rushing, those are the two games this season you'd look at and say, yeah, I can see it. He's going to break the edge. Somebody's going to give up contain, and he's just going to take off for 30 yards on one run.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely got the athleticism. Bill Woj wants to know more about what you've heard about Williams.
He was sneaking he's in the two deep, and I heard that he was sneaking, you know, occasional one reps here and there, but it wasn't like he was a guy they were working him in there. It was more of a, you've earned this, so we're going to give you a couple reps here and there. It's not that he's pushing that spot. It's more of a, we feel like you're putting the effort in, so you deserve to get this opportunity kind of thing.
So you think he's in the two deep?
I do.
Huh.
I think we have the most messy two deep that you could probably say of any team, because I think on a week to week basis, I think you could change it. But he was getting reps with the ones and twos consistently the entire time during the spring.
Okay. I like that. Look, I think we're in a good spot at that position overall. I think there's a lot of people that could do a lot of things. But I don't feel like he's in the two deep right now. I wouldn't peg him for that. We are going to do a depth chart at some point coming up. So that's fair. It's a fair discussion point. If you're still listening to this, again, hit that like button. Very, very helpful to the show. So thank you if you're watching on YouTube. Leave a review on your audio platform. If you're listening on Twitter, come follow us on YouTube. Hopefully you're a fan of the show as well. A lot of you watching on Twitter as well. Right now, we've got a ton of stuff coming up. I'm just going to put this up one more time. We've got Over and Under show coming up, which is not listed. I don't know why. We've got defensive and offensive previews. We're going to talk media. We're going to do media days. We're going to obviously talk about camp, do a stock up, stock down during camp season. And of course, the Know Your Foe series is going to begin this week with the host of Locked On Irish, who's going to be joining our show to talk about Notre Dame and go through all that stuff. Justin, final thoughts before we close our hot take show of the year.
Yeah, I think we're getting to the point now where we're getting tired of waiting for things to start to really be able to talk about. And we're all really ready for August to hit so that we can start doing fall camp. I feel pretty good about this team. We'll see what happens. I think that there's such a wide gap in terms of what this team could be this year, but the schedule is there for the taking. There's not a lot of teams that I look at and say, these teams are stacked and ready to go. There's not a lot of locked and loaded teams. Obviously, the teams I'm most afraid of are clearly Notre Dame and USC. USC has got a returning quarterback, and they have stacked talent on that team like crazy. I don't know what we're going to see from some of those other teams. People have talked about how Iowa's got a lot of turnover. We'll see what happens there. I feel that coaching staff is really good. Defensive side of the football, they scare the hell out of you because it seems like no matter who they plug in, they're suddenly borderline all Big Ten. But I think we feel pretty good about what we're going into the season with. It's the most depth we've had under Luke Fickell. I feel like there's the fewest questions in terms of like, what are we going to do if something goes wrong here than we've had going in out of any season.
And especially at the quarterback position, you have pieces there that you trust a hell of a lot more than at any time we've been doing this.
Yeah. Listen, we've got a lot to look forward to, and there's no doubt about that. And one of the reasons we like doing this hot take show is like to talk about the possibilities. And I do think some of these possibilities are legitimate, and I think that ultimately it's gonna mean that a lot of things go right. For multiple years now, nothing has gone right. And so we have to buck that trend and actually turn things around. But as I've said many times, I think rock bottom has already been hit. I think it happens. I think we're gonna be vastly improved. If we have a 4 or 5 win season, Luke Fickell's done, and this entire era is over. And we have to start from scratch.
Well, this roster is gonna be done. Like, you will, if Fickell leaves, I have zero doubt in my mind that Wisconsin will probably have to replace 50 spots.
Will Hannah says, quit pushing back on Justin's hot takes. All right, that's fair. I like pushing back on Justin's hot takes, though.
I push back on his, too.
That's fair. All right, we'll be back again. Look out for the Know Your Foe series starting this week. We'll be back again next week as we continue our countdown to kick off 2026. As always, thanks for joining us. And on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Bucky Report or The Bucky Report Podcast from wherever you get your content. Until next time, on Wisconsin.